afternoon. It's 79 degrees in Richland Center at 12:08. For WRCO News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and Republicans in the state legislature continue to argue over who controls the federal funding distributed to the state during the COVID-19 pandemic. On Thursday, the state Senate Committee on Government Operations, Labor, and Economic Development held a public hearing. Over $171 million of interest that was generated by the pandemic relief funding. Republicans claim the money now belongs to the state and is under the legislature's control, while Governor Evers argues it is federal and under his control. Negotiations between Governor Tony Evers and top Republicans have hit a wall. Last night, key GOP leaders said talks had reached an impasse, despite what they called good faith negotiations. Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemieux and Budget Committee Co-Chair Senator Howard Markline said taxpayers simply can't afford the governor's spending priorities in response. Evers said he kept his end of the bargain, backing tax cuts for the middle class and retirees. But Republicans wouldn't budge on his calls for child care, education, and funding for the UW system. Wisconsin has the largest budget surplus on record, according to an analysis from the nonpartisan Wisconsin Policy Forum. The Joint Finance Committee stripped hundreds of items from the governor's proposed budget last month, and it meets again this afternoon. A breakdown in negotiations over a tax cut and other spending measures in Wisconsin threatens to put the 2026 race for governor on hold, with the Democratic incumbent saying he won't announce his decision on seeking a third term in the swing state until after a budget deal is done. Governor Tony Evers and Republicans who control the legislature have been meeting in private since April, trying to hammer out a deal ahead of the July 1st deadline. But those talks broke down yesterday. Wisconsin is poised to be in the national political spotlight again next year with the race for governor and a fight over control of the legislature. Wisconsin's top election agency is under federal scrutiny for the Trump administration. Federal funding for voter education and poll worker training could be on the line. The U.S. Department of Justice's Civil Rights Division issued a sharp warning to the Wisconsin Elections Commission in a letter yesterday, saying the agency is out of compliance with federal law. At issue, the DOJ says the commission lacks a proper administrative complaint process, a requirement under the Help America Vote Act, or HAVA. The Wisconsin Elections Commission is a bipartisan body established roughly a decade ago by former Governor Scott Walker. It oversees election guidance for nearly 2,000 local clerks, and the agency does have a complaint system and investigative process in place. Any eligible Wisconsin voter can file a complaint, but the DOJ's letter suggests that may not meet federal standards. Since 2002, Wisconsin has received more than $77 million to help administer elections after HAVA. The post-2000 election law that aimed to make voting more secure and accessible. This latest federal push comes amid continued complaint over a mobile voting van used in Racine during a primary years ago. The city said the van expanded access for voters, but former Racine GOP chair Kenneth Brown disagreed and sued. The case went to Wisconsin Supreme Court, which tossed it out earlier this year. The court's liberal majority ruled that Brown wasn't personally harmed and had no standing. State Republican lawmakers are taking another swing. A new bill backed by the conservative Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty would make it easier to sue if complaints to the Elections Commission are dismissed. That proposal had a public hearing earlier this week. A federal judge has issued a temporary block on the Trump administration's cancellation of hundreds of millions of dollars in AmeriCorps grant funding and thousands of service workers in about 24 states that sued in April. The decision means the federal agency must restore grant funding and Corps members in those states. The federal lawsuit was filed by Democratic state officials across the country. It accused President Donald Trump's cost-cutting efforts through the Department of Government Efficiency of reneging on grants funded through the AmeriCorps state and national program. The program was budgeted $557 million in congressionally approved funding this year, but the judge is allowing the 30-year-old federal agency to proceed with its reduction in force. The Supreme Court says a Catholic charity in Wisconsin doesn't have to pay unemployment taxes in one of a set of religious rights cases the justices are considering this term. The unanimous vote ruling today comes in a case filed by the Catholic Charities Bureau. The organization says the state violated the First Amendment's religious freedom guarantee when it required the organization to pay the tax while exempting other faith groups. Wisconsin argues the organization doesn't qualify for an exemption because its day-to-day work doesn't involve religious teachings. Also this term, the court deadlocked on public funding for religious schools and is still weighing a case over religious objections to books in schools. Bipartisan legislation introduced at the Capitol would support Wisconsin's smaller police agencies. The bill would create a pilot program providing grants to small law enforcement agencies. Those grants would cover labor costs and unreimbursed training costs tied to sending officers to the academy and 6 months of on-the-job training. Lawmakers hope the bill would address staffing shortages that are currently affecting small police departments statewide. The bill was introduced by Democratic lawmakers Senator Brad Paff and Representative Clinton Anderson, and Republican Senator Jesse James and Representative Bob Donovan. Republican state lawmakers are proposing legislation that would allow language interpreters in state courts to appear for hearings and trials virtually. Proponents of the legislation say the state has a shortage of qualified interpreters, and allowing virtual appearances could make the justice system more efficient. Under current state law, interpreters must appear in person during trials, but can appear virtually for some hearings. Critics say virtual interpreter appearances could lead to miscommunications, eroding the rights of victims and defendants. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection are highlighting the economic impact of the state's dairy industry in honor of Dairy Month. According to DATCAP data, the dairy industry contributes over $50 billion of economic impact in the state and supports over 120,000 jobs. Wisconsin has more dairy farms than any other state in the country, and about 80% of the milk produced is exported. About 20% of Wisconsin's milk products are exported internationally. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has reported over 50,000 wild turkeys were harvested during the spring hunting season. According to preliminary data from the agency, the statewide hunter success rate was about 22%, with nearly 230,000 turkey authorizations sold. The mark also represents the fifth time the state crossed the 50,000 turkey mark since the agency began managing the hunt in 1983, and officials expect it to be one of the highest spring turkey harvest of any state in the country. U.S. Senators Tammy Baldwin and Ruben Gallego introduced a bill to protect striking workers from their employers terminating their health care benefits. The Striking and Locked Out Workers Health Care Protection Act would protect workers' health care benefits and prevent employers from using their power to cancel or alter health insurance for workers exercising their right to strike. In Wisconsin, two unions face threats from employers, including striking United Auto Workers at Cummins in Oshkosh, in which workers' health care through Cummins is still terminated as their strike for better working conditions nears the three-month mark. The National Labor Relations Act establishes workers' right to strike as a protected activity, and employees cannot be fired for striking. But employers can and often do threaten to cut workers' health care as a tactic to end the strike and intimidate workers. The bill would create a separate unfair labor practice category for when employers cut or alter workers' health insurance while they are on strike or locked out, and violators would be subject to increasing levels of civil penalties. Last year, the Wisconsin Department of Transportation Division of Motor Vehicles began offering the option for motorists and individuals to add emergency contact information to their driver's license or ID record. Currently, over 82,000 people have added contact information through a convenient online process. Governor Tony Evers signed the To Inform Families First, or TIF law, in 2023 to provide law enforcement the ability to contact a family member or other loved one more quickly in the event of an emergency. Adding this information is voluntary and will not appear on the card. Only law enforcement, including police in other states, are able to access the information. To add emergency contact information to a DMV record, visit wisconsindmv.gov/emergency-contact for the easy self-service application. A visit to a DMV customer service center is not necessary. June is a special month in Wisconsin for many reasons, including the beautiful weather, the end of the school year, and on top of it all, it's June Dairy Month. Wisconsin's economy, history, and culture are steeped in an appreciation for all things dairy, and it's during the month of June that we can be especially thankful for dairy farmers, haulers, processors, distributors, consumers, and everyone who keeps the industry strong in America's dairyland. As part of June Dairy Month, many communities are holding dairy breakfasts this Saturday. The Crawford County Dairy Breakfast will be held Saturday. Enjoy all-you-can-eat pancakes, syrup, sausage links, cheese curds, applesauce, milk, coffee, and more from 6 to 10 at Achenbach's Highview Farms on State Highway 27, 2 miles south of Eastman. The cost is $3 and free for children 6 and under. The Iowa County Dairy Breakfast will be held Saturday from 6:30 to 10:30 at B. Kurt Dairy on Vortex Drive in Barneveld. Hosted by the Handel family, B. Kurt Dairy is a first-generation dairy farm that has a passion for getting people to the farm and educating them about where their food comes from. Enjoy a locally sourced breakfast that includes pancakes, eggs, sausage, milk, cheese, yogurt, and ice cream. After breakfast, check out the many activities being offered, including a kids area, petting zoo, live music, a farm tour, and more. Busing will be available. The cost is $10 for adults, $5 for children, and free for children under three. Parking and busing will be at Vortex Optics. Attendees are asked to take the short bus ride to the farm. The Sauk County Dairy Breakfast is being held at Narrows Dairy Saturday from 7 to 11. Narrows Dairy is an operating dairy farm that uses robots to milk their cows. The breakfast menu includes scrambled eggs with ham, pancakes, sausage, cheese, applesauce, milk, coffee, juice, and Culver's custard with toppings. Visit the educational tent, entertainment tent, and see the dairy farm. The cost is $10 for adults, $5 for youth, and free for children 5 and under. Hosted by the Nolden family, Narrows Dairy is located on Buckeye Road near Rock Springs. Wisconsin Dells School Farm will host a farm-to-fork breakfast Saturday from 8 to noon at the high school. Have breakfast from local food sources in the area. The menu includes grilled cheese, Brew Farm eggs, Sassy Cow milk, Brew Farm sausage links, and Culver's custard. Get a tractor ride out to the farm and celebrate Dairy Month with area vendors, one-on-one animal time, and kids' activities. The cost is $10. Dairy Breakfast will continue throughout the month with the 44th Richland County Dairy Breakfast being held Sunday from 7 to 1 at Schmidt Farms on Fairview Road between Gotham and Sextonville. Cost is $5 per person ages 4 and up, 3 and under eat free. Kinchy's Petal Pull for children age 4 to 12 will be there starting at 10. Breakfast goers are encouraged to park at Rockwell Automation and ride the free bus to the farm. The Belgium Waffle Breakfast to support Feed My Starving Children returns to the Boscobel Farmers Market this Saturday from 8 to noon. Bruce Pitsley is an organizer of the Boscobel Mobile Pack for Feed My Starving Children.
We did it for 3 years, and last year we took a year off, and they asked us to come back just this Saturday, and we agreed to do so. So we're looking forward to doing it again. You know, we've had tremendous amount of support for our waffle breakfast those 3 years we did them at the farmer's market. And people that come to the market, like last summer and then again this year, they're asking where we are. So we're trying to get the word out that we will be back this Saturday. And hopefully the weather will be good and we'll have good attendance.
The cost of the breakfast is $5, which includes a large Belgian waffle with whipped cream, two sausage links, and a bottle of water. Hunger is still causing nearly half of deaths in children under 5 years old. From this data, Feed My Starving Children estimates at least 6,200 children die each day from causes related to undernutrition. As a Christian nonprofit, FMSC is dedicated to seeing every child whole in body and spirit. FMSC works with food distribution partners that stay with communities for the long haul, empowering them to move from relief to development.
We just recently finished up our 13th mobile pack in Boscobel last April. We had over 750 volunteers pack over 240,000 meals over seven shifts. So those 240,000 meals will feed 660 children one meal a day for an entire year.
FMSC meals are developed by food science and nutrition professionals to supplement nutritional needs and reduce problems with malnutrition. Nutrition allows children to grow, thrive, and develop to their full potential. Money raised from the waffle breakfast will go directly to the Boscobel mobile pack. If you are unable to attend Saturday's waffle breakfast to support the Boscobel mobile food pack, a drive-through steak sandwich supper will be held Wednesday from 4:30 to 7 or until gone at Back Roads Church in Boscobel. The meal includes a large steak sandwich, cheesy potatoes, and a chocolate chip bar for $12. Pre-orders are available by calling Renee at 608-553-7825. Join the Richland Center Police and Parks and Recreation Departments for the Cops and Bobbers Fishing Derby Saturday at North Park Pond. This is a free family event where you can have fun fishing while getting to know your local officers and recreation department staff. Jared Wilson is a member of the Richland Center Police Department, serving as the Community Resource Officer for the Richland School District.
This is the second annual Cops and Bobbers Fishing Derby, where we at the police department have partnered with the City of Richland Center Parks and Recreation to host the Cops and Bobbers Fishing Derby at North Park Pond. Ages 18 and under, but would like to mention that participants must be accompanied by an adult. Bring your own fishing poles, bring tackle, as well as bait.
There will also be door prizes, giveaways, and afterwards for the largest, smallest, and most fish caught.
If you're lucky enough, you may just win some prizes. You'll have some new tackle to put in your tackle boxes, or even some tackle boxes. We do also have a donor who's going to bring between 40 and 50 fishing poles for children as well.
Officer Wilson feels community events that bring officers and the public together is beneficial for everyone.
Everyone enjoys it quite a bit. I think the kids enjoy it just as much as the police officers and the park and rec department. It's just such a nice community event where the police department can interact with our community, and it just seems like everyone has a good time. It's very beneficial to get to know everyone in a positive way, much like my position in the school district, building those and establishing those positive relationships with children. It does help in future incidents.
Registration for Cops and Bobbers at North Park Pond will be held from 8 to 8:30, with fishing from 8:30 to 10. Awards and prizes will be distributed from 10 to 10:30. Children 18 and under, accompanied by an adult, are eligible. Each participant should bring their own fishing tackle and bait. This is also Wisconsin's free fishing weekend, so fishing licenses are not required. Catch and release fishing is encouraged.